Okay, we're actually team presenting here, so I'm going to introduce my co-presenters. But just to say in context that this is part of, we're presenting kind of highlights of a study that my consulting firm did, which we did actually get paid for, but it's not reflected here. No relevant relationships to disclose. And we're going to have some context on the study and some of the other changes happening in Seattle King County from June Robinson. She will introduce herself in terms of her background. And my partner in crime on this is Terry Mason. Dr. Terry Mason is a widely sought after public health consultant based here in Boston. And so we will talk about three different aspects of the study in brief, and you should be able to download the complete presentation as well as the actual report that we did for Seattle King County from the online program. So I think that's all I want to say in the beginning. So without further ado, Joan Robinson.
Well, good afternoon. I'm June Robinson. As Carl said, I have worked for many years with community health workers in the United States and actually internationally as well. I've been very active with the community health workers section here at APHA. And I currently, for just about the last year and a half, 2 years, have worked at Seattle King County Public Health Department, where I manage community health worker programs in the prevention division. So, let's see here. So I should skip through this, right, Carl? So the report that Carl said, mentioned that he and Terry prepared for Public Health Seattle King County is about looking at the workforce in the context of healthcare reform. It involves, as we're going to talk about, community health worker roles in some other metropolitan local health departments, and then thinking about sustainable financing for community health workers. So this all began probably about 2 years ago, or maybe even a little longer than that, within the within Public Health Seattle King County, where we were looking ahead to the implementation of the Affordable Care Act and thinking about the emerging role that community health workers will be playing in the public health workforce as the ACA is implemented, and trying to prepare ourselves as a local health department for that future reality. We knew that we have community health workers working within our health department. They're spread throughout the department in various roles. We wanted to, you know, sort of think about best practices. We wanted to think about ways that we might leverage new funding as we go into healthcare reform. And we were also, we're always cognizant of public health's role in assuring access for all. And what does that really mean? How do community health workers fit within that role of local health, local public health? So as we looked internally at our own department and the community health workers who play, as I said, play various roles within the public health department, we knew that we had community health workers, a couple dozen, I would say, probably scattered throughout various divisions. I'm in the prevention division. There's some in the community health services, which is more direct care. There are community health workers working in TB and HIV, just sort of scattered around our various programs and divisions without a common job description, without a common job title. They've been hired, you know, at different times historically into specific categorical programs and called different things. So we really don't have a job class that's called community health worker, although, as I said, we have a couple dozen people working within the health department who are community health workers. So that was our internal look. We also, as part of this study and thinking ahead, we wanted to look externally as well. What is the community around us? What's happening with community health workers in our county and King County, in our region and in our state? So we did a bit of a landscape assessment to identify who's working with community health workers in our community, who's beginning to think about policy changes, looking at sustainability issues, and just workforce issues in general for community health workers. And then, always important to a local health department, I think we wanted to compare ourselves to our peers, and this is what we asked Carl and Terry to do some work around, which was to look at other metropolitan local health departments in the United States and just sort of survey and look at what were other health departments doing around community health workers, and that's what Terry's going to talk about next.
First of all, let me figure this out. What do I do to... Okay. Yeah, so my name is Terry Mason, and I, as Carl very nicely put it, am highly sought after. I started doing work in the community health worker field policy-wise, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when I was at the Massachusetts Public Health Association, and became quite engaged in the wonderful workforce development work that the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and other organizations of the Massachusetts Association of Community Health Workers were engaged in. So I work here, and I was happy to work and look at what's going on in Seattle, King County, which I think you will see from my very brief highlights here of what we found in this informal study is really a leader in taking a look at how local health departments can fit with their community health worker workforce into this whole changing environment. So I just want to caution that, you know, this is not a serious, what I would really call a survey. We've got a small sample of local health departments here. We did qualitative interviews. We were on a short timeline, so we were really asking not so much for official data, but just getting estimates and overviews to kind of get a feel for what's out there, as June said, they were really interested to know about. And so there's our sample. You'll see that we spoke on the phone to one or two people in each of these departments, sometimes quite high up, sometimes program managers, just whatever would work in the short term. But you'll notice that these are pretty much large urban local health departments or, you know, county health departments. So that's kind of a bias built into what we're talking about here. And so what we found was that actually June said that they don't have in Seattle, King County, a specific civil service category for community that loosely relates to community health workers, but the other health departments that we talked to did have some kind of civil service title, if not a couple, like San Francisco City Health Department has, you know, health worker 1, 2, 3 sort of thing. It may none of them, I don't think, were actually the term community health worker, but they have a term so that they can hire people that don't have really stringent formal educational requirements and bring them onto their staff. But, of course, the proliferation of job titles is still a reality everywhere. And, of course, we're talking, just like June said, in Seattle, King County, about a lot of folks in these departments. You know, usually dozens, sometimes hundreds of community health workers are either on staff at these local health departments or they're on staff at the department, and also they're paid for through department contracts in community health, you know, community-based programs. So it's not an insignificant workforce in local health departments in big cities. You know, not everybody had a formal official definition of community health workers, but needless to say, that's a struggle. And for those who do have that, it's very helpful to them because it's just figuring out who are community health workers. And that's part of why there really isn't a lot of formal data. Nobody could say, here's the X number that we have. We've got it all counted up. So that's a challenge in and of itself. But nonetheless, we're talking about a lot of people here. And just like with Seattle King County, everybody that we talk to is definitely anticipating some kind of role for community health workers in the new service delivery and financing world, particularly, you know, billable for work for chronic disease roles. And in a couple of cases, San Francisco and Multnomah County in Oregon, Portland, they have primary care clinics that they run, the health departments. And so community health workers are, in those contexts, increasingly integrating primary care with other kinds of services. So they're definitely employing community health workers in that way when they are running clinics. But, you know, to date, local health departments that we talk to, and again, these are big ones, so I would assume that the smaller ones are not ahead of them. That could be wrong. But only a couple of them have begun to seriously, you know, work on contracting community health worker services with payers, or another one, so this is Boston and Multnomah County. Multnomah County is doing some technical assistance with other organizations, so they're beginning to work with beyond their local public health networks around community health workers. Training and certification, everybody's pretty much interested in and hooked up with one way or the other. A couple of the local health departments actually are the base for, you know, community health worker training centers longstanding. And then, of course, statewide certification. That's the case for community health workers in three of the states that we talk to health departments in. And in a couple of the others, they're already promoting it. So, you know, I'd say the majority of the local health departments we looked at are in states that they're trying to promote or they already have certification for community health workers. So I guess the real, you know, questions that emerge are, you know, all right, this gives a snapshot. The local health departments are really, you know, engaged with community health worker workforce. How do they fit into this whole transformation in the health system that's happening? And what kind of strategies are they using to strengthen ties between population health and healthcare? And, you know, are they standardizing community health worker positions in some way? I think these departments were pretty early on, for the most part, in doing that. And then I guess I would say, you know, just from the perspective of payers, some of us who've been talking to health payers know that they're going to be reluctant to try to pay for services if they think somebody else is already providing those. So having local health departments really communicate what they're doing or coordinating with the larger health system is going to be very crucial.
Okay, batting cleanup. I just want to add to Terry's point that we checked in this process with the National Association of City and County Health Officials, and they said, what? Community health workers? What? No, we haven't done anything with that. So all the research is really pretty much in the future in this field, as Terry pointed out. I wanted to say, just to mention in passing, that in addition to the paper, the full report, that on our website, the University of Texas Houston Institute for Health Policy, we do have a digest of the local health department study, because there has been considerable amount of interest in that. And we can talk about that later if you want. And if you download this presentation, you will get this web address, but it's pretty, we tried to shorten it for you. So I want to talk a little bit about financing, because this is, as Terry suggests, a big issue for everybody, not just local health departments. So I want to run through quickly some things that we've been observing that we reported to Public Health Seattle King County. And first, that there are some things emerging about what payers are interested in, whether the provider is public or private. There's a lot of talk about working with high utilizers and care coordination, which has shown a lot of potential to reduce cost. A lot of evidence to show community health workers effective in chronic disease management. Similarly, a lot of results in terms of return on investment for improving birth outcomes by community health workers. Cancer screening and navigation, they knock it out of the park on that stuff, particularly with populations that are reluctant to participate in cancer screening. patient-centered medical homes. A lot more we can talk about there, and a number of examples of medical homes that have made community health workers a kind of linchpin of what they're doing. And then, of course, care transitions and reducing readmissions. There's a logical role for community health workers there. So you can get into the tall weeds pretty quick when you talk about financing options for where community health workers fit. So I'm just going to summarize what we were looking at. Third-party payers, there are increasing opportunities for that, particularly as I'm sharing with a number of folks at this conference, that the Medicaid rules change as of July, effective next January, will allow Medicaid to pay for preventive services by folks who are not licensed clinicians, which is a big breakthrough, and it is partly aimed at community health workers. New payment structures like the patient-centered medical home is certainly an opportunity. And we have not really exhausted the possibilities for internal financing. We have a number of cases of hospitals, for example, in Texas, where they're using their own money. They're not waiting for somebody else to pay them to hire community health workers because of the internal return on investment. And patient-centered medical homes, there is clearly a compelling logic to this. The successful patient-centered medical home is going to rely on creating communication and trust between providers and patients, regular follow-up. Those of you who are familiar with the phenomenon in Medicaid of loss to follow-up, that's not acceptable in a medical home. It's just not. So management of chronic conditions, as I mentioned before, and the style of the community health worker in working with the whole person or family, looking at their whole life, the determinants of health and so on, and not just their presenting conditions, and the beauty of the fact these new mechanisms are accountable for the health of a population as well as just providing services to their patients. And so the community health worker can work both sides of the street. They can work with individual patients, and they can also work at a community level. So I just want to highlight a few recent innovations with community health workers that we talked about in our report. Delaware's used some of their Affordable Care Act home visiting money to do what they're calling health ambassadors, which are essentially community organizers working in high-impact communities. The community health worker of Network of Buffalo, New York, is creating its own sort of leading training site for Western New York, and they have adopted a similar philosophy of asset-based community development. Seattle King County, of course, which we're talking about today. Medicaid waiver in Texas, a statewide waiver, is about I think 1,300 projects funded under the statewide waiver, and of them, about 120 projects involve community health workers. In San Antonio, it's also in a kind of a community organizer role. Many of you heard about the coordinated care organization legislation in Oregon. And in South Carolina, they're piloting this year in 20 primary care practices, paying for reimbursing for community health worker services. And this is kind of on their own. And this is, yes, in South Carolina. So there are a lot of innovations happening around this. This is way too much detail for me to talk about with you today. This slide is available as a separate handout on the online program website for you to download. But I just want to say that there are three basic pathways that we've talked about with King County and others. The first is in conventional health care. Can we fit community health workers in the rubric of, for example, Medicaid managed care? And there are plenty of roles available there in care coordination, chronic conditions, and so forth. In the middle, what are the options for funding population health in primary prevention, for example? And we've had a lot of initiatives focused on specific conditions, but there are opportunities in the long run in terms of both waivers and even block grants or prevention and wellness trust, as they have here in Massachusetts. And then the third pathway is looking at these new hybrid structures that have a combination of patient care and population health improvement goals, and they have different, of course, payment mechanisms. So be glad to talk about all of this stuff in later on during questions or at the end of the session, but the presentation and handout have contact information for each of us, so we look forward to discussion at the end of the session. Thank you very much.